flow, some healing and
Love
flow.
Love Talk Radio.
Healing and flow, some yes, begin to receive the healing touch of Jesus. In every area of your life, be made whole by the power of the Holy Ghost. As many love coming to this service tonight, just put your right hand on your head. Wherever you are in any part of the world, you have come into this service. I tell you, this is a miracle healing explosion service. Yes, God is touching you right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Put your right hand on your head. Yes, Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. As you have laid hand on yourself, the Lord Jesus is laying his hand upon you right now. Yes, Jesus is laying his right hand of miracle. He's right hand of deliverance. He's right hand of anointing. He's right hand of grace and mercy. He's right hand of prosperity. He's right hand of life and life abundantly. Receive the healing touch of Jesus. Be made every week whole by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is touching everyone tonight. Jesus is touching everyone tonight. Jesus is touching you wherever you are hurting. Yes, receive. Hey, Rebusaya Baba. Ya blow kondo yo blow. All you need is a touch of Jesus. All you need is a touch of the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from God. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from the Lord. All I need is a touch from Jesus. All we need is a touch from the Lord. All you need is a touch from Jesus. All you need is a touch from God. Yes, receive the healing touch of Jesus in your spirit, soul, and body. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, receive the healing touch of Jesus. Have been released upon everyone that has come into this service tonight. Jesus is touching you right now. Jesus is laying his right hand of miracle, healing, and deliverance. Jesus is laying his right hand upon your spirit, soul, and body, on your home, your finances, your marriage, your family, your education, your children, your husband, your wife. Receive the healing touch of Jesus right now. By the power of the Holy Ghost, every yoke be destroyed because of the anointing of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome from all over the world. I can see here on the computer from Africa. From different parts of the world, from Europe, from Germany, from Canada, from Australia. Everyone is welcome. God bless you all. We have over 1,000 people on this broadcast right now from around the world. Yes, you are all welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, this is the Hour of Miracles radio and television ministry of the Jesus Christ Global Mission, reaching all the way from Langham, Maryland, USA. And I know God is going to do you good today. We are privileged to have our mother in Christ, our honorable, our lady Evangelista Lyon-Kalawa, join us this service. I tell you, God is going to do you good. Everyone is welcome. Also, Amen. We are privileged to have the honorable Bishop Barry Davis. Just pulled
Amen.
In right
Praise
now.
The Lord.
Yeah, we thank God for the woman of God. I tell you, I was just thinking today, I say, oh, where are the guest speakers? Well, I don't want to put pressure on people. I like the Holy Spirit bringing them in. And the response of the Holy Spirit, they are all here. And I tell you, God is going to bless every one of you today that have come into this meeting. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. The woman of God, Barry Davis, hope everything is going on well in the name of Jesus. The Lord is your
Amen.
Friend.
Amen. Heaven just celebrated yes. my 71st birthday just Friday. It has been blessed. Praise the Lord. God is doing some awesome things in my life, and I thank him so, so much.
You mean on Friday? Was it on Friday?
July 14th. Yes, you reminded all of us the last Sunday we
Happy
were on.
Birthday.
Yes. July 14th.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Happy birthday.
Hallelujah.
Happy birthday to you.
Praise
Happy birthday
Lord.
To
I was
you.
Just out with a few
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
I receive it in the name of Jesus.
More grace, more favor, more blessings. Long
yes.
life and
thank you, Lord.
Everything.
Long full life.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. I receive
yes.
it, Father, in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus
Amen.
And all the blessings you're placing in my life. Just today,
yes.
out celebrating
Amen.
With pastors. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Many, many more years of healing and deliverance and blessings and prosperity. Many more years. Of anointing and favor, grace and mercy.
Yes, Lord God, yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. I receive it. The wealth of blessings. I receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I'm going to share in about 15 minutes about the power of prayer. And then we're going to have the woman of God coming in. I'm going to take the first 15 minutes. We're going to be talking about the prayer of faith in this next couple of minutes, which I'm going to use. And our text is taken from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 26. And Mark Gospel chapter 11, verses 22 to 26. I run through that quickly. Mark 11, 22. It says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, and shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye have received them, and ye shall have them. Verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive, ye have also good things, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespass. Yes, this is very important. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 22 to 26. Jesus said, have faith in God, believe in God, trust in God. When you pray, believe that what you have prayed for has been answered, even when you haven't seen it yet. Praying by faith is very important. Sometimes people just pray and they have no goals, no purpose, in their prayer. They just pray because they want to pray. It is more than that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's Matthew Gospel chapter 7, verse 7 to 9. He says, ask and ye shall. God wants you to ask from him. God wants you to request. God wants you to pray unto him. God wants you to talk to him. Prayer is talking to God. You talk to God about your issues, about your problems. You talk to God about those things you need. You talk to God about different things that are going on. God wants you to talk to him about your need. That's why Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 to 9, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Yes. What a prayer we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. All because we do not carry
everything to God in prayer.
Yes, God wants you to take everything to him in prayer. Your personal problems, your personal need, your personal troubles. God wants you to communicate to him in the days of prayer, in the days of trouble. God wants you to call upon him. Actually, we don't start with God. That's why we have problems. When there is a problem, I like the attitude of King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there was a problem. And the first thing Jehoshaphat did was to go into the house of God and started praying. As he was praying with his men, God gave the answer. Said, Jehoshaphat, you just praise me. You just worship me. You just glorify me. I'm going to fight this battle for you. 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat, you don't need to fight this battle. I have taken over. You see, because Jehoshaphat, he handed the problems to God in prayer. When
Amen.
You hand your problems, yes, you hand your problems to God in prayer, God takes charge. He takes control. Jesus said, casting all your cares upon Christ, for he cares for you. When you hand over your issues, your burdens, your troubles, your problems, you hand them over to God in prayer, you are no longer in charge. He takes absolute control of those issues, and he begins to fight the battles for you, begins to meet those needs. He's able to do all things. So you must start the prayer. Jesus started the prayer and ended with prayer.
Prayer is the key.
See, Jesus started in prayer and ended in prayer. That's how we should start our life with prayer. You wake up in the morning, the first thing is not to grab your cup of coffee. The first thing is not to grab your loaf of bread and start drinking hot coffee. The first thing is to go to God in prayer. You started with prayer. You know, you thank God for bringing you so far. You thank God for another day. And then you commit your way unto the Lord in prayer, because you have a whole 24 hours in front of you. You have a whole 24 hours in front of you, and you can't tell what is coming. So you commit your ways unto the Lord in prayer. You commit yourself and your family, your children, your husband, your wife, your relations, your brothers, your sisters. You just hand over everything to God in prayer. Now you are ready to come out. You are ready to go. And now God is in charge. You know, he goes before you to protect you, to do everything for you, to help you in the time of need. So prayer is very, very important. A prayerful Christian is a powerful Christian.
Amen.
I repeat, a prayerful Christian is a powerful Christian.
Yes.
A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Because you are not praying, and so therefore, when the devil comes, you know, he can overcome you, he can do all things, you know, he can attack you from all angles and all kind of stuff. But if you are a prayerful Christian, Bible says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame Satan. The believers, the Christians, the people of God, they overcame the devil, they overcame sickness and disease. They overcame principalities and powers. They overcame spiritual wickedness in high places by the blood of the Lamb of God and by the word of their testimony. So prayer gives you victory. Gives you victory in all angles. Show me a praying Christian, and I will show you a powerful Christian. Show me a prayerless Christian. And I will show you a Christian that will be overrun by problems and issues of life. They can't handle them. I remember one man of God used to preach. He said, pray so that you will not have to pray. In other words, pray so that you will not have emergencies. That's what he's trying to say. Pray so that you don't have emergencies. You see, because when you don't pray, then you don't have defense. You don't have protection. You don't have God watching over you. You are not calling upon him. He's not connected with you. You are not connected with him. He can't help you. God is everywhere, but you are not linking up with him. You know, so the scripture says, pray without ceasing. The apostle Paul was writing to the Christians in Thessalonians. He said, pray without ceasing, pray without stopping, pray without stopping. So prayer is every day, it's every hour. I hear some people say, when I get to the church, I will pray. I say, no, you got it wrong. You can pray in your house, you can pray in the car, you can pray in the kitchen, you can pray in your bathroom, you can pray
anywhere, yes.
You can pray anywhere. Some people are waiting for Sunday morning, 10 a.m. When they get to church, that's the only time they pray. No, that's wrong. The Bible says pray without ceasing, pray without stopping.
Pray without ceasing.
You pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray every time you pray. It's the key. Prayer is the key, it's the power. You know, so prayer doesn't have to wait until Sunday morning by 10 a.m. when we get to church. Prayer can start even right now. Prayer can be said in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, in the night. Prayer can be said anytime, anywhere, because God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Everywhere. So today I'm led to share with you about the power of prayer of a praying believer, a praying Christian. Bible talks about Prophet Elijah. Say Elijah was a man like us, but he prayed and heaven responded. See, when you are intense with God, you are intense with heaven, and you pray, heaven responds. God responds. See? I'm praying today that God will recharge our prayer life in the name of Jesus. God will revive our prayer life in the name of Jesus. God will rekindle our prayer life in the name of Jesus. God, we anoint our prayer life. We shall not stop praying. We shall pray. It's Operation Push. Operation Push. Pray until something happens. You know, they call it Operation Push. You pray until something good happens. You pray until your miracle comes. You pray until your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, your blessing, your until God opens the door. You pray, you keep knocking the prayer of continual prayers. Continue knocking the door until God opens the door. Hallelujah.
We turn God to
Him. I pray that God will revive our prayer life in the name of Jesus Christ. We shall not be prayerless Christians. We shall not be prayerless people, prayerless believers. God, to rekindle our prayer lives in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
We pray without ceasing. Pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray in the evening, pray in the night, pray around the clock. Oh, yes, prayer is truth and bread with which we live. Yes, God bless you all for turning this service. Right now, I'm going to turn it over to our mother in Christ, Honorable Lady Evangelist Online Kalawa. She's going to be sharing with us what God has laid in her heart. We have a whole 2 hours, a 2-hour broker. So feel free and come with the word of God and let God bless the people. We hand over to Mama in Kalawa. Let's welcome her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Sir. Amen. So this topic is no risk, no reward. No risk, no reward. Life is meant for risk takers. We are going to look at some people that took risk and are able to make it in life. David took a risk and overcame Goliath. When he faced Goliath, he said, "You've come to me with spear and with sword. I've come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the God in whom you have defied." He gave the head of Goliath to the sword. He took a risk too when he was shepherding the sheep, when the lion comes and the bear comes. He pursued them, overtook them. So many people in the Bible took risks. David too, in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 1 to 8, took risks when they stole his the wife. They carried the wife and the children away. He has to inquire from the Lord God Almighty and follow them. All what they stole from his people, God restored them back to him. Abraham too, the third person, he took a risk by leaving his father's kindred, not knowing where he was going. He just followed the voice of God when God told him to leave his own country. And in the end, he got for himself a name and a place in the heart of God. Only the risk takers last long. Coward people die 10 times. People that are coward, they die before their death. A life void of risk will be stagnant. If we rehab too, the harlot took a risk. She was spared along with her household. I did mean she took the risk. If she didn't take the risk, she wouldn't have been spared with her household. Even Ruth took a risk, and she became the grandmother of David, through whom the Savior was born. That can be found in Ruth chapter 4. Esther took a risk too. She delivered her people from Haman that wanted to kill the whole nation in Esther chapter 5, 8, and 9. She's a woman. She stood for her nation. She took the risk to to face the nation. Then Gideon, too, in Judges chapter 6, he took a risk to destroy the evil altars in his father's house. Many avoid risk. Others avoid risk. Only a few take risk. In Judges 5:18, we saw the children of Naphtali and Zebulun who risked their lives in the battlefield just to defend the glory of God. And God honored their names. They had their names in God's book of remembrance. You must be able to take risks for God. On the other side, we saw the children of Reuben who went into hiding in the hour of battle. Judges chapter 5, 15 to 16. They are not ready to take any risk. They loved ease and comfort and hated battle zones. Another meaning for risk is faith. Faith. If you take faith is a complete trust in the word of God. When you risk something, you are taking faith. It means you have a very strong faith. Faith steps into the unknown. We can see some of the people in the Bible that have faith. Noah has faith. Enoch has faith. Abraham had faith, Jacob had faith, Daniel had faith, Joseph had faith, Moses had faith, Rahab had faith. All faith shall be tested. Learn to expect the test. Learn to thrive in times of testing. No risk, no reward. And faith without work is dead. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and even hearing the word of God. I want you to know that the word of God does the work of God. Read the word. We have to read the word. We have to study the word of God. Great tests make great testimonies. And God be with us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that was part of the faith message because taking risks, you're going by faith. You just shall live by faith. So risk is in business. Risk is in marriage. Risk is in relation. Risk is everywhere. When you get into your car and you are driving out, you are taking a risk. There is risk in everything. Even if you are going on mission trip, even if you are flying to some countries or something, there is risk. But the truth is this, you must go by faith. The just shall go by faith, shall live by faith. So you need to have faith in order to go across the risk. When you take risks, you are taking risks because of Jesus, because of God. You are doing things because of the Lord and what God does in your life. You know, you are taking risks because of Jesus. You know, so we thank God for that message. We are blessed by that message in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. So now we're going to turn it over to Bishop Barry Davis, woman of God, who God has been using in various places. And she's here to share with us what God has put in her heart. Let's welcome Bishop Barry Davis.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We come before you this afternoon just thanking the Lord for all that he has to do both in us and through us. Amen.
Amen.
Today, God is is speaking to us regarding the storm of life, turning trials into triumph.
Yes.
Again, the storms of life, turning trials into triumph. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
We're going to go to God's word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
James 1:12 is the first scripture we want to look at. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, for what he has stood the test, he will receive what? The crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Let us look at God's word carefully now. Amen. Let us look at this carefully. Blessed is the man who remains what? Steadfast under trials. The word tells us that we will go through trials and tests. The word emphatically tells us that. God has given us clear knowledge of how Jesus went through what? Trials and tests.
Yes.
He's also spoken to us in many instances with many, many people in the Bible that went through trials that God turned into victory. Amen.
Amen.
Let us remember that as we go through trials, God is shaping us. Let us remember that as we go through trials, what? We are being shaped. God is allowing us to go through the trials that he turns into victory or triumph in shaping us. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles, what does that say? Momentary troubles, meaning that the troubles will not last.
Yes.
For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us. Listen now, those momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
Amen.
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 We got to get into the word amen and ask God for revelation knowledge to understand what his word is saying. Do not be discouraged because you're going through some things. Do not be discouraged because after one trial that God has victoriously carried you through, there is another trial waiting. James 2:1-4 says, Count it all joy, my brothers. Know you meet trials of various kinds that the testing will what? The testing brings us what? Strength. It preserves us. It brings us strength. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials.
Yes.
So we got to understand that we got to go through some things. You got to accept that because if God tells us that in no uncertain terms. You got to go through it. All of us. Every single one of us has to go through some things. Amen? Don't think because we are pastors and evangelists, the fivefold ministry, that we are not going through anything, because we all are going through some things.
Yes.
Let's ask ourselves then, though, does trial strengthen your faith in God? The trials, that adversity, the suffering, the pain, the persecution are all roadways that will lead you into trusting God deeply. It will lead you to what? Trusting God deeply. It will strengthen you. It will prepare you for God's work. It's shaping you.
Yes.
Trials that come from our own mistakes and sins, guess what? They're shaping you.
Yes.
Another trial that God is willing for us to experience because he wants us to grow. Hear me now. Trials that God is willing for us to experience because he wants us to do what? Grow. We're not to become stagnant and bored. God wants us to do what? To grow. There's another type of trial that happened because this is a fallen world full of sicknesses and diseases and even fallen people. But God will take every single one of those circumstances and he will
yes.
turn them around victoriously. He will bring triumph in your trials. We got to persevere through trials, folks. We got to first and foremost put your trust in the Lord. No matter how long it takes, put your trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, look to God for answers. Look for the divine knowledge. Pray. Communicate with God. God will tell you. He will show you. That's divine
yes.
knowledge. Look to God for answers. Pray. He will communicate them to you. Amen. But you've
Amen.
Got to have that faith. Yes. You've got to be able to look to God for that what? Divine knowledge. Number three, recognize that everything is from God. Everything. The sovereignty of God. You got to recognize that, folks. We got to always put our hope in the Lord. And when you
yes.
have that faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, you're going to have that hope in the Lord. You're going to carry
yes.
that faith. You're going to walk in that faith.
Yes.
You got to serve God in the meantime. Now, we got to really understand what that means. We got to serve God in the meantime.
Yeah.
That means that even in the midst of those trials and troubles, the storms of your life, you got to do what? You got to serve God. You
yeah.
serve God. You worship him. You continually pray fervently. For God is going to order your steps. God will bring victory to whatever you're going through. And just know you got to keep serving him. Don't give up.
Yes.
Don't look at what you think the outcome is because your thoughts are not God's thoughts. And remember, God will carry you through that storm. It's only temporary. It's a temporary trouble. That means it's not going to what? Last forever. Storms come and they go. So through the storms of life, we got to maintain a good prayer life. We got to communicate to our Father. We got to follow
yes.
his divine knowledge. We got to put our trust in the Lord. We got to recognize that our God is a sovereign God. We need to put our hope in the Lord and serve him in the meantime. James 1:12, blessed is the one who, what? Perseveres under trials because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. Imagine that. You will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that what? That love him.
Yes.
See, our God is an encouraging God. He is so sweet. He is so awesome that no matter what that storm is, that you hand over the reins to him, if you step back and let him take control, he's going to carry you through whatever that thing is. No matter how often those trials and tests come, because we know we got to go through them, just give it over to the Lord. Stand steadfast. Be one that recognizes that our God is sovereign. Put your hope in the Lord. Your trust in the Lord. Have faith. We got to understand that these trials and troubles, they come because of 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles, folks, this is what God's word is saying, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We got to understand this thing. Trials are woven into the very fabric of our lives.
Yes.
No matter who we are, I can't say that enough. No matter who we are, the storms will come.
Yes.
Stormy seas are a reality. Trials and tests are what? A reality. It's a part of life. And they always come when you least expect them.
Yes.
But how do you weather those storms of life? How do you turn your personal trials into triumphs? Remember, you got to hand the reins over to the Lord. You got to keep the faith. Those are several things I just went through several times. Now let us look back to one of my favorites, and that's Paul, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul went through many, many, many trials and what? Tribulations. He did.
Yeah.
He tells you about them in God's word. That's the beauty of reading God's word, is it's full of parables. It's full of stories that show us that what we go through is no different from what God's disciples went through, from what everyone has to go through. And when you read the life of Paul, and Paul tells it, he talks about how he was arrested. God arrested him on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
See, Paul came from a family that killed Christians. Paul stood tall. He was jailed, and many, many miles of people would come through that short period of time that the gods would allow him to come out to see the daylight outside. Paul stayed steadfast. He found the joy of the Lord was always bubbling from within. Even in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells about some of the things he went through regarding being beaten with a bull whip. How many times? 39 lashes. See, Paul talks about a lot of what he went through. He didn't go through one shipwreck. He didn't go through two shipwrecks. He went through three shipwrecks. And on occasion, he was floating around in the sea sometimes 24 hours. But you know what? He still maintained the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Paul was stoned. Yes, he did. Paul was stoned so badly that he was left to die. How many of us would go through all of that?
Oh.
He was in prison more times than he could ever remember, he says. He was robbed and beaten and betrayed by friends. And many times, Paul himself, he suffered and was left to die, but he always maintained what? The joy of the Lord. The things that we are confronted with through each of our lives, it's a certainty that God will bring us through.
Yes.
Paul's spiritual focus is seen with his passion when he reaches Rome for Christ. Now, we got to think about this thing. And he recorded this his time there in Acts 23:11, that he would go to Rome to be Christ's witness there. And it was an unconditional promise. Now, we know anytime God gives us an assignment, the devil is going to try to keep you from what? Getting it completed. So for 10 years, Paul pointed his nose and his life, the compass of his life, towards Rome. He was clearly in the center of what? Of God's will. Think about it now. All this stuff has happened to him a long life past. But for 10 years, Paul kept his focus on the Lord. He kept his focus on that assignment. He had an unconditional promise. And you know what? He kept that promise. He kept that promise. He sailed on, I believe it was the Mediterranean Sea. And when he got there in Rome, we got to remember now, there were a lot of things that was going on. But the trials that was woven into the fabric of his life, for Paul and for you and me, it was for a purpose. And he was victorious in everything that he did. He served time in jail. He did this, that, and the other, but he what? He found time and always focused his travels on the Lord. So as we look into our own personal lives, just know that the storms will come. Rains will come. Disappointments will come. Brokenness will come. Heartache will come. Frustration will come. Boredom will come. But we got to remember that God has our back when we give over the reins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Yes,
I want to leave with you Psalm 66:10. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. Proverbs 17:3, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests our hearts. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The storm of life will be triumph, will be victorious. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture here that has to do with what you have just preached on. Second Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. It says that.
Somebody is snoring, please.
Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labor, more abundant. In strife, above measure. In prison, more frequent. In death, often. Of the Jews, verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 tries. Think one. Tried was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and faithfulness. And so on and so forth. Paul is writing about the suffering he went through during his missionary journey, all the temptations and trials which the woman of God was speaking about, which the Bible was speaking about that. And these are things lead. Well, when we follow Jesus Christ, Jesus said, they that will follow and take up your cross and follow, they that will live for Christ have suffered persecution. There is always persecution. For following Jesus Christ, there is persecution, tribulation. People, we persecute you, make mockery of you for following Jesus Christ. And all these things are there. Even Jesus Christ suffered a lot too.
Amen.
Jesus suffered a lot. And even though he was God the Son, Jesus suffered so many things. What he suffered until he went to the cross and died on the cross of Calvary, where he died, and he was mocked, they feared him, they spat on him, mocked him, called him prophesy. Saying they call him the King of the Jews, and a lot of things Jesus went through.
Amen.
And today, we believers, we still have those things happening. So the scripture says, count it all joy when you fall into the
count it all joy.
Count it all joy. You know, Jesus did not promise a bed of roses. Christianity is not a bed of roses.
Amen.
Everything has been done for you. It's a place of triumphant victory in Christ Jesus. God gives us victory over temptations and trials and difficulties. So we pray today that we should not be discouraged from serving God because we are experiencing trials and temptations. We don't have to be discouraged. We just continue to look unto God, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yeah.
And we continue to believe in him. So we thank God for what God has done today. We have received the word of God. We want to thank all the guest speakers who came and shared with us. And we thank God for today's service. We're going to be back again Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. as usual. Everyone is welcome. God bless you all for participating in this broadcast. The Lord be with you and strengthen you, uphold you with his right hand of righteousness.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus has been for you in the name of Jesus. We thank God for the women of God. God continue to strengthen and empower them and bless them and solve their problems. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So,
to God.
Let's say the grace in fellowship. Let's say the grace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,
The sweet,
and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore.
Forever.
Amen. God bless you.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we should dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. To God be the glory.
God bless
you.
Please share this message with everybody. Forward it, email it, text it, tweet it out, share it. Let it go viral. Let this message go viral and bless the whole world.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Have a blessed week. Amen.
Amen. Amen.